What do you think would make you happy? We have more stuff than we could ever need. Wardrobes full of clothes we don't wear. Houses full of items that we don't use. Presses full of toys the kids never play with. We've lots and lots and lots of stuff, yet having all that stuff isn't making us any happier. Quite the opposite, according to one cultural forecaster. That's James Wallman. He believes we're suffering from stuffication. Also, incidentally, the name of his book. And having all of this stuff is bad for the planet and bad for our health. In his book, he explores how some people are now turning their backs on the all-you-can-get consumption, and he believes that transforming what we value is the key to overcoming this epidemic. Welcome to the programme, James. First things first, more is no longer better, it is worse. Explain what you mean when you wrote that in your book.
Hello, Dave. You know something? When people say to me, you know, you've written this book called Stuffication, what is it about? People just, you know, and I say something about having too much stuff. We've got too much stuff. You know, having more is no longer better, it's worse. They all look at me and go, I totally agree. Everyone seems, it's really interesting. When you talk to somebody, you know, you have a drink with somebody, and the guys I play football with, for example, or, you know, we might see some friends of my wife's, and, you know, we talk about this book, Stuffication. Everybody has got a stuffication story. I think it just resonates with people. That's why I can, if you like, get away with publishing a book called Stuffication. And instead of people thinking I'm nuts, they think, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I think people really get the point that more stuff isn't better anymore.
Absolutely. I would hold my hands up completely and say I'm as guilty as anybody else. Having said that, let's take a, like, there's so many different angles, so many different directions you can take when you come into this word that you have, I presume it's your word and I haven't heard it anywhere else, stuffication. Is it simply, though, just another way, James, of saying that materialism just doesn't work?
Yeah, to an extent. Yeah, I mean, materialism, let's just be really clear here. Materialism was the best idea of the 20th century. Materialism is the value system which underpinned consumerism. Consumerism, which is the practice that has underpinned the success of capitalism, has taken us from a situation where we didn't have enough. We didn't have enough food. We didn't have enough stuff. We lived in a state of scarcity. 99% of people, for 99% of human history, since from the time that, you know, we came down from the trees, it's been a situation of scarcity. If you think what life was like 100 years ago in 1915, the biggest problem for most people was finding enough food to put food on the table to feed the family. Now here we are, 100 years later, in 2015, the biggest problem isn't finding enough food. We've got the obesity epidemic. Two-thirds of people are either overweight or obese in first world rich countries. And I think stuffication is the material equivalent of the obesity problem. So up till 1915 and, you know, the early part of the 20th century, we didn't have a lot of stuff. And we didn't have a lot of stuff. I mean, you know, who had more than two pairs of shoes, three pairs of shoes? You know, who had loads of shirts? Now, we've got so many pairs of shoes, you've got pairs of shoes that you don't wear, they're not worn out, but you just go and buy another pair anyway. We've got wardrobes full of shirts. I mean, think about your shirts for a moment. Who hasn't got loads of shirts they just don't wear? What's the point in having all those shirts, all those T-shirts, all those shoes, all that stuff that we don't use?
This is like my Jiminy Cricket talking to me. Okay, hold on a second. Like, this is completely, like, try and say, no, I need that. I don't need half them. You're damn right. Having said that, it's late in the book that you kind of make the point that you've just made there, which really is the fact that, like, you're not giving out about the baby boomers, who would have been the last bunch to sort of want to keep up with the Joneses or be one step extra, or the madman situation of you get a better life if you do this, that and the other, or if you have this, that and the other. But you yourself are of the generation saying that's what you did at first, but now maybe you're sort of leading the charge to say we're now at a point where our values are slowly beginning to change, our needs are once again changing, and we realise that materialism no longer fulfils our needs. You're not necessarily giving up to the last generation to have done that, if you like.
No, I think they've done us a massive favour. I think materialism was great, but the thing is, and it's been coming for some decades, that the great stuff that comes with materialism, the increase in standards of living, is incredible. But at the same time, the problem that comes with our system, based on the value system of materialism, is separation from people. It doesn't lead to happiness. It's causing the more materialistic a society is, the higher the rates of depression. It's causing us a lot of stress. And that's why I think we need to shift away from thinking that we're going to find happiness and identity and status and meaning in life by buying more and more and more things to create a better world, which is what worked before. And I think we should shift from that to spend our energy, our time, our focus and our money on experiences instead.
Okay, I don't need necessarily, just before we get on to experience, which is the big thing, or let's hope I can get the pronunciation right, experientialism. The point about it is that, like, you know, that, like, while I say 100% I understand stuffocation and I am definitely a victim, those who would say, well, I don't know if I am or not, in other words, I don't need to take the quiz that you give in the book. So some people who might, how does one know if they are suffering from stuffocation? Is it that this short quiz you have in your book can give people an indication?
Yeah, I think it does. I think that the quiz is, it's quite a light quiz, and the idea is not necessarily that you get 10 out of 10, you know, you're not aiming for full marks. What the idea of the quiz is to illustrate to somebody what's your feeling towards material stuff in your own personal life and in your attitude towards society. And one of the questions, I think, is about kids, you know, when you have Christmas or see some child's birthday, does part of you sit there thinking, oh my God, look at all these toys. This kid is not going to play with these toys. This is just stuff for them to open on the day. It's a guilt trip. It's like the party bag you get when you bring your kids home away from a party they've been to. And, the lovely people that have held the party have filled a bag up with stuff that your child doesn't need. And I think that's one of the aspects of stuffocation. It's not just a personal thing about the acknowledgement that we have more stuff than we need. It's a societal thing. It's recognising the fact that materialism has brought us so far, and it's been fantastic. But now we've got a new problem. We've got the problem of abundance. We've got, I mean, you think about obesity. We need to solve that problem in the same way we need to solve the problem of stuffocation. And as we go about doing that, and I think we're in the process of doing that at the moment, I think we're going to shift our quality of life to a much better, higher quality of life. We'll focus, instead of on more stuff, on more experiences, better quality of life.
Okay, well, before we get to that, just go back to that for a second there as to the why. There has to be a why. There has to be an examination. There has to be a scratching of the head and saying, this is just crazy. Why do so many of us keep on following this way of life if it doesn't make us happy? Why do we want more and buy more when we already have more than enough?
There are so many answers to that. That, you know, what advertising has done to us, the way our system is set up to think that success is, some version of the American dream that we've imported from the States, you know, of kind of having this, I don't know, I'm exaggerating here, but kind of picket fence with a bigger car than your neighbours, a bigger TV, better stuff. We think that's going to lead to happiness. But one of the I think, most important reasons is, think about obesity again. Think about the fact that until very recently, in human terms, we didn't have enough. The people who survived, our ancestors, were the ones who ate as much food as they possibly could whenever it came available, because you would never be far away from some kind of famine. You'd never be more than one, two generations from famine. So therefore, your grandmother, your mother, your father, your grandfather would always have said to you, eat food, seafood, eat food. And I think it's exactly the same with stuff. So in the same way that food has led to obesity, we're here in a situation where stuff, material goods, used to cost a lot of money. And so therefore, if you had something, you kept it, you held on to it. You know, think about furniture, Dave. You probably, I mean, some of your younger listeners won't remember this, but furniture used to be something that people handed down from generation to generation. You know, now we've kind of got the IKEA
time. I used to get my shoes fixed.
Well, you know what? The thing is, it used to be like that with clothes. Go back a few more like before 1750, before the Industrial Revolution really kicked in, people used to hand down clothes from generation to generation. I mean, think about the idea of rags. You know, you buy rags nowadays. You know, you go to a DIY store and they have a bag of rags. If you told somebody that 100 years ago, they thought you were absolutely plain nuts. Yeah. But the thing is, we're at a time now where we still have got these old habits. Old habits die hard. We're kind of hardwired to eat as much food as we can, and we're also hardwired to get and gather and hold and hoard as much stuff as we can, because it used to be expensive. I talked to this historian in Australia, a woman called E. Fisher, who had calculated the cost of a shirt before the Industrial Revolution, so up to about 1750 or so. And she says that in today's terms, that would have cost about 2,500 euros. Because of all the effort that had to go into making the weft and the weave and creating it, and the manpower hours to create it. Think what a shirt costs today. 5 euros, 10 euros.
Right.
So stuff has become cheap
and
too.
You can just knock it off. I mean, like, so what you're saying is, hundreds of years ago, people didn't have stuff, and therefore stuff had more value, and accumulating it meant more. And this is one of the most important things. There was actually a statement. But today we have stuff in abundance, just like food, but we continue to seek out more and more of it. So for people who are thinking right now, look, what's the harm in having lots of stuff in your home? It can literally kill you, is what you're saying. I presume you're talking about a fire in the damn house, but more besides, is it? It can just kind of come in on you and make you depressed?
There is the issue with fire, first up. There's a fascinating study conducted that shows that if you're caught up in a hoarding fire or near someone who's got hoarding issues who's having a fire, if you get caught up in that, you are much more likely to have something bad happen to you. But the thing that really kind of skewed me and really kind of made me, you know, when you come across something and you really feel you need to share this piece of information, was a study by two psychologists in Los Angeles who found, this was in particular for women, and no one quite knows why it's for women, but not for men. They think it's to do with the culture aspect that women have to look after the home, or have tended to look after the home in recent years. And they found that women who have too much stuff in their home and talk about the stress that comes with that have this pattern of cortisol, which is the same as the signature pattern of cortisol which people have who have post-traumatic stress disorder, chronic fatigue, and a higher risk of mortality. Right. So the scary outcome of that, if you look at that, is too much stuff can lead to the kind of stress that could lead to an earlier grave.
You have said towards the end of the book that you're not giving out about the baby boomer generation. In fact, quite the opposite. You understand where they were coming from. The white picket fences, 50s, Eisenhower never had it so good, all that kind of thing. And then as they grew up into whatever, and you even took a bit of that on yourself, but now you realise you would like to be part of the other movement, which is it a movement? Are people turning their backs on the all-you-can-get consumption lives that we lead?
Yeah, I really believe so. The book is two things. It's both a manifesto and a forecast. Yeah. It's a manifesto that if you want to be happier, spend your time and your money on experiences, not stuff. There's scientific proof that shows that if you want to be happier, spend your money on experiences. But it's a forecast. I'm a culture analyst. I've been a culture analyst for about the last 10 years, and my job has been helping companies like Louis Vuitton and Marks & Spencer and Nike and Nokia understand the future. And I believe that I've seen the signs that show that we are shifting from a culture of materialism, something I call experientialism. So instead of looking for happiness, identity, status in material things, in stuff, we're finding happiness, identity, status in experiences instead. And there's a number of pieces of evidence that point this out to me. One of them is some research conducted by a guy called Ron Engelhardt. First conducted the research in 1969, published it in 70, and he found then that people in first world rich countries were mostly materialistic. 80% of people were materialistic. He's been continuing that research. It's grown into the World Values Survey. He's been continuing it for the last 45 years. And we're at a point now where 50% of people are materialistic. So in the long term, in the pretty seriously long term, 45 years, our societies are becoming less materialistic. There's also evidence, as well as evidence that our attitudes are changing, there's now evidence that our behaviour is changing as well. There's a guy called Chris Goodall, he's ex-McKinsey consultant, he's a Cambridge grad, he taught at Harvard as well for some time, and he's found something that he calls peak stuff. He believes that he's seen the signs in first rich world countries that we are now consuming less cars, paper, water, concrete, fertiliser. Now, this isn't just one sort of simple graph that, you know, always goes in the same direction, but there is, you know, there's noise around the signal. But the general trend from since 2003, which is when his research begins, so before the crash, well before the crash, there is a general trend for our economies, so us, to consume less stuff. And there's lots of other evidence that suggests this to me as well. The luxury market has made a really important shift. Since 2011, the biggest sector in the luxury market is the experiential luxury sector, so holidays and spa days and stuff. And the reason I mention the luxury sector is because what happens at the top of the socioeconomic tree, i.e. people with lots of money, tends to filter down to the rest of society. So if you go back to the beginning of materialism, you know, strong consumerist materialism, the people that bought the first cars, the people that bought the first washing machines were the richer people, and then it filters down to everyone else. So this shift for the rich people now is indicative of what's going to be happening in the rest of society as well.
Let's get to this big word that you're talking about here, because in your book, you write about an alternative to living a materialistic life, which isn't as singular as minimalism, and that's the experientialism. I keep getting it wrong. Explain what that is and how it could be the answer to stuffocation.
I just want to say you said it right. And don't worry, I've been through this. Experientialism, there you go. Right. And it's a really simple idea. It's dressed up in a slightly fancy word, and I have played with it to try and find a word that both my mother and father are happy with saying, and you, Dave, as well, quite easily. But it does what it says on the tin, really. It's just like materialism, but it's about experiences. Instead of thinking we're going to find happiness and identity and status and meaning in material things, we're believing, and I think we're doing this, that we're going to find happiness, identity, status and meaning in experiences instead. I think this is happening, and I think it should happen.
And do we already know that lived experiences are more valuable? It's just that we still stuff our houses with stuff we don't need. But we do know that there's an underlying knowledge that we know that lived experiences are better. We're just not really opening all the doors to it.
I totally agree with you. In some ways, I think this is old knowledge. You know, I've had conversations with people that say, you're not saying anything new here, are you? And to an extent, what's new about saying experiences are better than stuff at making us happy? Who doesn't know that going to the pub with your friends for an evening is better than having a new jumper? Who doesn't realise that that's the case? But the thing is, I think what happened in the 20th century is that the advertisers, the industrialists, and the government, to a large extent, because they wanted us to spend more money so they can increase GDP, so they can say, hey, aren't we doing well? They sold us on the idea again and again that what we should do is buy more stuff that will increase standards of living and that will lead to a better world. To an extent, that was right back in the earlier part of the 20th century, but that isn't right anymore. And the thing is, I just think we've forgotten that age-old truth that what matters in life is, you know, experience is a flexible term because it's, you know, it's about relationships. Relationships are really important part of our lives, of course, but it's important, one of the important reasons as to why experiences are so much better than material goods at making us happy, because experiences bring us closer to other people.
What would you think in terms of, you know, like people who would argue that if we turn towards experimentalism, experientialism, sorry. Oh, stop. Look, our economy would suffer badly, and, like, you know, that thing might grind to a halt if people didn't do what some of the madmen in the 60s and advertising want you to do, buy stuff.
We live in the most incredible circumstances in human history. You know, the fact that we've got a problem of having too much stuff and we've got the problem of too much food and that, you know, we're working out what kind of flat screen TV that we really want and do we want a 4K screen is how lucky are we? I'm not here to smash the system. I think one of the reasons that made me think I need to write a book about this is there's lots of people trying to deal with the problems today and they're coming at it, I think, from kind of quite revolutionary anti-capitalist, anti-consumerism type places. And this isn't anti-capitalism or anti-consumerism. It's not even anti-stuff. I think that people should keep spending money because if we don't have people keep spending money, we won't have jobs. If we don't have jobs, we won't be able to pay
also,
our mortgages and our rent. I mean, this is good for us. You
but
know,
is it possible, James, that also experientialism is now, thanks to Facebook, that could be like, you know, there's a new kind of way of competing with the Joneses. Social media has put new value on experience so that they're becoming the new stuff, if you like.
I do think they're the new way to keep up with the Joneses. I don't think they're the new stuff. I think they're the new way to keep up with the Joneses because in the 20th century, if you'd been to surfing on the West Coast or you'd been over to London for the weekend or you'd gone to the latest pop-up restaurant or cool bar, no one would know. You know, you had to literally go up to somebody to tell them about it. So the best way to get status, to express your identity to other people and to, you know, keep up with the Joneses would be to have, you know, a nice handbag or a nice wallet to pay for stuff with, or a really, you know, one of those big watches or a big, you know, fancy car. But in the 21st century, with all your friends on Facebook and your followers on Twitter and Instagram, people do know what you're up to. And it's not just people generally, but the people that are your followers and your friends are people in your peer set. They're the people that you want to say, hey, this is me, this is what I get up to. So therefore, absolutely, Facebook is really supporting the shift from materialism to experientialism, that shift from stuff to experiences as a way to say, hey, this is me, look at me, this is who I am. And just to come back onto the economy, one of the things that I think makes this compelling is that I'm not telling people to completely revolutionize their lives. It's simply a question of spending ever less time and money on stuff and ever more time and money on experiences. That way, you'll keep money going around the economy, you'll be happier, you'll have more status, and we'll have a better world. If you spend your money on experiences rather than stuff, you'll be happier. Don't we want happiness in our lives? That seems like a great positive to me. It will bring you closer to other people. It will give you better stories. Even when things go wrong, when experiences go wrong, they turn into great stories. There is research that shows that we're happier when we talk about experiences. Plus, we prefer to listen to people that talk about experiences, you know.
And it's great for conversation too, on this, I can tell you. Living More With Less is what it's about. Stuffocation is the name of the book. It is Penguin. It is James Wallman. And I'm going to rush home now, clean out my wardrobe and put everything into my shed. Thanks very much, James, for talking to us. Good luck. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Dave.